folks. How are we doing this morning? You know, it seems that every time, I'm going to grab a little bit. It seems that every time I get a weekend off work, it turns off cold and rainy. Isn't that amazing? It's like, okay, next week it'll be beautiful and I'll have to work. But anyway, that's enough of my griping now. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much, as always, for the finished work of the cross, knowing that while we were yet still sinners, while we could not do it for ourselves, you sent your Son to live a perfect life on this earth and to willingly give himself on the cross as a sacrifice for us. The perfect man come, lived a perfect life, and then he went on a cross and he took all of our sins upon him. Simply by believing and trusting what he did, we actually become sons and daughters of you. And we don't deem to fully understand it, but we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, God, for giving us that way. And we thank the Lord Jesus for willingly succumbing to the will of the Father to take those sins upon himself from us. Father, we know that people are sick today. We know that allergies are going around. We know that people have even dire injuries with cancers and falling and breaking bones and all kinds of needy stuff. And I'm sure there's things that we don't know about, that each one of us is just in our own particular mindset, just does not want to show. But each one of us has our own ailments, our own beast that we have to overcome. We pray that you would be with us as we walk through this time, that make us strong and give us the ability to show that through all these times, through all these bad times that we see walking in this humanity, that we are looking forward to you and the time that we will be with you, and that our life reflects the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do. Be with us as we learn through your word. Help me to teach as you would have me teach, and open up the Holy Spirit to teach each person in here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm sorry, folks. I couldn't wait any longer. Okay, we're in Genesis 34:1 today. Genesis 34:1. And this is a chapter about a story. And everybody says it's the story of Dinah, but it's not really the story of Dinah. It's Dinah's involved with this, the story of how brothers react, how fathers react, and everything like that to situations that happen. So let's just jump right off into it. To set the scene, Jacob or Israel has come back into the land now. And when he came back into the land, last week we discussed how he was so worried about his brother, how he was going to react to him, because we know that whenever he left, that his brother was looking to kill him. And we saw how God, in the interim, whenever he is away, has changed his brother's heart. And I think I was reading a commentary, and it says, you know, God restrains men sometimes from messing with his chosen people. Either he takes and he ties their hands, or he changes their hearts. So, you know, with Pharaoh, he kind of tied his hands a little bit. But with Esau, he changed his heart and how he felt toward his brother. And it took a few years for this to happen when he come back in. But, you know, his brother, you know, without the advent of the telephone or the telegraph or even the telewoman, he did not know what was happening back over here. And he did not know how his brother was going to react to him. So when he come back and was pleasantly surprised how God had moved his brother to take that hatred away, and how his brother was just happy to see him. Whenever his brother said, come on up and live with me, man. I got plenty of room. I got a big house. I got plenty of land for you. Don't worry. You come on up there. We'll make it all a big, happy home. But he decided that he wasn't going to do that, and he moved to this particular area outside Shechem. Now, they had set up town right there, and this has been quite a time away. This has been like, you know, probably 10 years, okay? People have grown up. When we look at it, it's kind of hard when you read through stories and read through things happening. You got to kind of put time into it, right? Because God doesn't give us a play-by-play or word-by-word exactly how somebody does. He goes, it's an idea sort of stuff. So now, it's several years later, and they have been living in Shechem for a while. And then the daughter Diana, she was the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob. She went out to see the daughters of the land. Well, I can't really fault the girl. She lives in a house of brothers. If I was the only boy in a house of 12 girls, now, this man over here says, you know, he raised, how many daughters?
Four
daughters.
And a wife.
And he told me one day he's lucky his son was the oldest because he don't know how he would have been able to put up with the girls in growing up. And it's, so you realize that she has grown up around basically handmaidens, other people, her mother, older women. But she's a young girl. She wants to go out. She wants to meet the other young ladies that are around town, right? I think that is what the Bible says that her intention was. Her intention was not to go out there and catch the eye of a young man and get raped. But so we see that's what happened. Now, this is kind of a warning for our young daughters. You know, when you take, there's a big bad world out there, folks. And the big bad world don't care about you. The big bad world cares about what the big bad world wants. And it's hard for our sons and our daughters to protect them when they go out there. And us in the United States are so bad about it that we actually send our kids into the mouth of the beast by sending them to all these colleges. We've let Satan's basically Satan take over the colleges, and now though what they're teaching is totally unbiblical. Even the ones that were started under biblical ideas have totally moved away from what they were teaching. And the world has taken over, and we send our kids, and this is where our kids go out into this world, and it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing not to be messed with by it. The world's out there strong. But I don't think that she went out to do mischief. I think she went out to meet some of the young ladies that were around the area to have some friends. Yes, sir.
I don't think she, I don't know what she thought, okay? But I look at Jacob, who left a 14 to 16 year old girl back in this day and time when they don't really care that much about the lives of people, females especially, and he let her.
Well, wait a second. Well, but understand, you're assuming that Jacob knew she went out. Yeah. How did you know where your kids were every hour of the day? Whenever I was growing up, my mom and dad, we were out for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, and they didn't know where we were. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that. I think you're drawing into that, Coach. It could have happened, but I think you're reading into it. She just may have went out. But anyway, it doesn't say that he was aware, so I'm not going to draw that into it, but you could be right, Coach. Anyway, she went out. She tried to make friends with these daughters of the land. She was meet young ladies her age to see what was going on. I'm sure she was inquisitive. We are inquisitive people. That's what gets us in trouble a lot of times. Well, when she was out, she caught the eye of a young man, Shechem. And this Shechem, he was the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the country. So she caught the eye of this young man that was the son of the King Kamehameha of the whole country, a land right there, okay? He was the son of the boss man. And when he caught sight of her, he didn't look on her with lust or anything. He actually took her and lay with her and defiled her. He raped her. Whether he did it with her permission or without her, from where she was involved and said, it doesn't say that in here, but whether it doesn't matter. It was wrong either way it went, right? Because there was procedures that had to be done before you laid with a young lady. So he knew what he was doing was wrong. He caught his eye, the lust hit him, and he did what was wrong, and he laid with Diana. Dinah? Dinah. Okay, Dinah. We don't know that, do we? But we know that there was certain ways that things were done at that time. Okay, so he defiled her. And it goes on to say, and his soul clave to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and he spake kindly unto the damsel. So his heart went out to this young lady. He did spoil her. He did it the wrong way, but he did have a heart for this young woman. He loved this young lady. That doesn't make what he did right, does it? That doesn't make what he did right. If he had took and he had saw her and he had fell in love with her and then he had went to Jacob or Israel at this particular time, if we had went to Israel and he had made a deal and paid the dowry and took her as a wife, then everything would have been fine and dandy. But he didn't follow the procedures. I don't know if Jacob would have made that decision. But we, you know what? It's out of hands now, isn't it? The problem has already been made. But this, I according to what I see here, he honestly had feelings for her. So he really loved this young lady. And I think earnestly he wanted to take her as a wife and love her. Again, I'm not saying that what he did was right. We just see that we're looking at what the Bible says when it comes to this sort of stuff. Now, what was his next thing to do? He went to his father. So Shechem spake to his father Hamor and say, "Get me this damsel for wife." I don't know if he was as pushy as that because his dad was the ruler. But he probably went to his dad and said, "Dad," evidently he told his dad what he did. And in the end, he said, "I want this woman for a wife." You know, I don't know how he went about it. Hopefully he went to his dad and said, "Dad, I messed up, but I really do love this woman. I want her for a wife." But he come down that he had feelings for her, and in the end, it kind of he wanted to do the right thing. He just went about it the wrong way. That's kind of the feeling I got about this guy. Now, we know that gossip travels fast in a small community, right? So, word got around to Jacob that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. So the word got around to Jacob that the daughter had been defiled. But Jacob kind of did nothing for a little bit. You know, Jacob was like, Jacob understood the situation here. He understood that we need to tread lightly on how we deal with this, because the people that are around us are still much stronger than we are. Right? Can we read that into what we see here? Because we see a difference in the way that he reacted. And understand, it's amazing how somebody that's lived a few, little bit longer life reacts than children that are early on in their reaction to things that happen. We see a total different reaction between Jacob and his sons, do we not? So, when Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter, it says, now his sons heard with the cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. So, evidently the word went out that your sister has been defiled by this young man Shechem, and the boys were still in the field. It wasn't time to bring the livestock in for the evening. They were out feeding and watering and doing whatever ranchers do. Now, we're not told when they had come back in, we're not told any discussion was made. We're not told anything at all, are we? We're not told what Jacob did or what his sons did. Basically, we're told that they were in the field at that particular time. Now, when we get down to it, it seems that his sons take more of a, that they kind of take the lead in the discussion with this Shechem whenever he comes to it. So let's jump on down into that now. Unless we got anything else we need to talk about up top yet? I think we hit that. Anybody got any more additions? Okay, we'll move on. It says, Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to commune with him. Now, this was one thing. He was secure in his power because I'm walking into a lion's den if I'm walking into a place where my son had raped a young girl. You know, I don't know how these other people are going to react. And he was the big wig of the area, right? So he could have probably called them to him, but he understand that he went out to them. He's trying to appease the situation here. He knows his son has messed up. And now he's going to work to get the best outcome he can for this situation. He's a politician. That's what they do. They try to make the best out of the worst situations. So he goes out to Jacob to commune with him. And it says, by the time, now understand, the sons have come in at this particular point. And I'm pretty sure when they come in, there was some hot-headed stuff going on back in that thing. We see by how they reacted that they were really upset that this thing had been done, especially the blood brothers of Dinah. They were really two of them were really upset. So, it said, the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved. They were very wroth because he had wrought folly in Israel, lying with Jacob's daughter, which was a thing that should not be done. Understand, this was, even in that time, it was something that should not have been done. She should have been secure that she in her womanhood until she was taken and given as a wife to somebody. Even in this time, you did not go out and rape little girls. It was a bad thing that he did. Now Hamor, when he come to them and commune with them, saying, the soul of my son longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her to him to wife. How do you think that went over? Just put yourself in a position of this man and these 12 young men, hot-headed young men, and Israel, that your daughter had been raped, and now the father is coming to you and saying, you know what? Even though my son raped your daughter, he really cares for her and he wants her for a wife. If he wanted that, why didn't he come to us beforehand? He has done something unseemly. He has done something that's not done there. He has broken the code of what should be done. And now his father's trying to say, you know what? He really does like her. He wants her for a wife. Can we make a deal? That's a hard, that would be a hard sell to make, would it not? It'd be like you come in and you want to buy a Land Cruiser and I send you out in a Tercel. You know? Go ahead, man.
Well, I mean, he's also questioning God's, one of God's daughters who carry someone out of the faith. They are very strong on that. They can take it away.
And not only that, but these are Shemites. They come from the Shemites, if I'm not mistaken. And it was something that should not have happened, okay? It should not have been done. I'm sure that Jacob would have found a son for his daughter, a husband for his daughter at a time where he would want to do this.
I'm kind of wondering if the father Hamor even knew that Shechem raped her. I wonder if he knew that at all. And then I wonder also that Shechem kept Dana in his tent. He didn't release her. He kept her. And they were gonna, and he and his father Hamor was going to talk to Jacob and make arrangements. I wonder if Hamor was not in the loop. He did not know it, that his son raped her. I just wonder.
I don't know. I think that... I don't know how well of the deal would have went over if he hadn't. I don't know. It looks like you could... We don't know that exactly what Hamor knew. You're correct on that. He's saying that he's not so sure that Hamor knew all of the particulars of what went on. That did he come to him and say, I want this woman for a wife and not know about the raping of the girl? Yeah.
Also, Jacob went to his house all the way north to live with Laban. He had a girl that he fell in love with instantly.
Nope. You're correct, Coach. So I can see where you're going with that, and really that's where it's kind of hard, because we want to. Sometimes our mind put things into other people's minds that really we don't. It kind of fills in the blanks, right? And sometimes we don't need to fill in the blanks, so we really don't know that. But we know that he went to him and he said, my soul and my son, Shechem, longeth for your daughter, I pray. I pray you give her to him as wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give us your daughters to us, and take our daughters to you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get your positions there, your possessions therein. He was sweetening the deal here, right? He's like, not only that, if you take and you let her marry, y'all can become part of the big family we got here. Y'all can marry with our daughters. We can marry with your sons. It'll be one big happy family. All the possessions will just prosper because y'all have a lot of cattle and all that other stuff. And y'all go, it's a good deal for y'all. Can you see the politician in this man? Not only is it good for us, but it's good for you. Yes, sir. Yeah. So he's saying to me, he sweetens the deal. He's like, not only give your daughter to wife to Shechem, but make marriages with us and give us your daughters, give your daughters unto us and take our daughters unto you, and we'll be one big happy family is basically what he's saying. Now, we know that God doesn't want to. I'm pretty sure that Israel knows that God doesn't want this to happen. If he did, he would already be making deals and everything like that because we know who he is. But I'm pretty sure that he knew what needed to be done. I'm sure he knew that he did not want the daughters and the men of this particular thing mixing. He didn't even want to get his kids up near his brother in Edom. Okay? He knew that inherently that's not the way it should be. So Jacob, and he goes on to say, possession therein. Okay. 34:11. Shechem said unto her father, and her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give ye, or I will give. I'll put a ye in there. I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according to as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. Now Shechem steps in. So evidently Shechem came with Hamor. That is a move for a young man. He had raped their daughters. Now he's walking into the hornet's nest, is he not? He's looking for the reputation of his father to protect him, evidently. But he walks into the hornet's nest, and now he speaks, he says to her father and her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes. If we get far enough down, there'll be even some more stuff that goes on. And like I said, so I completely understand what you're saying. You know, they were not meant to mix these particular areas. So this is a bold move. Let me find grace in, if I find grace in your eyes, if it pleases you, there's not much that man could do to please them at that particular time, is it? There's not much he could do to make right what he did. He's like, whatever it is that I can do to make right what I do, I'll give it. Name it. Whatever you name, I will give it. If he had said, give the what would have been the a price to ask that they could have done? Yeah, lay down your life right now, son. That, you know what? If they were honest men, what would they have said? They dealt deceitfully back with this man, did they not? Because they had a plan. These two men had a plan. They were going to kill this man regardless. They had already predetermined what the outcome was going to be. So they could have said to him, you know what? You want to know what we want? We want your death. At least they had been honest in what they wanted, right? But they couldn't even do that. We see how conniving these people are. And it probably rubs off of the way they were raised around their dad and Laman. Their uncle. Laman, yeah. Anyway. When I look at this, I say that, you know what, if they're honest, they say, you know, what we want is your life. Because that's truly what they wanted. But that's not what they answered. What they answered, now, it's interesting that Jacob lets his sons do the talking here. He's not speaking up. He's letting these high-strung young men do the talking. It says, and we know later on, I don't think that Jacob knew the plan because the way he reacted later on. Okay? So I don't think Jacob knew what was going to happen, but these two young men did. They had already had a plan. He said, and the sons of Jacob answered Shechem, there you go, and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and they spake because he defiled Diana, their sister. And say unto them, we are not able to do this thing, to give our sister to one who hath a foreskin, for it is a reproach to us. I went to the Young's Literal Translation. It just gives a little bit better thing. So basically, we cannot marry our daughter to you because you're circumcised. You're not circumcised. And it's required that everybody in our family be circumcised. So I'm sorry, we can't become family because y'all guys aren't circumcised. So he says, we can't do this because you have not been circumcised. It is reproach for us. It is something that we cannot, it is a deal breaker. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Well, understand that in this particular culture, the Oriental culture there, that circumcision wasn't something that was unheard of. Certain other people do it, not just Israel does it. So, but it was something, they were not lying. They could not have somebody in the camp that wasn't circumcised. You'd be cut off from Israel. That's part of it. You have to be circumcised. You know, Abraham did it to himself and his kids, right? And it's something that's been done for a thing. He's like, we cannot consent to you as we have every one male. And then he goes on to say, it's a reproach to us. He's like, but, so we got a little but here. Only if this we consent to you, if ye be as we, to every male of you be circumcised. Then we have given our daughters to you, and your daughters we take unto ourselves, and we will dwell with you and become one people. And if you hearken to us and be circumcised, then we have taken our daughters and have gone. I would say, if you hearken to us and not be circumcised, then we have taken our daughter and have gone. In other words, if you will consent, not just you, but all the male folk in your clan, in your little city, every man in there must be circumcised, or else we're going to take our daughter and leave. He's like, and not only that, he said, if you do that, then we'll give our daughters to you, and we'll take your daughters, and we'll be one big happy family. But if you don't, we're out of here. We're going to take our daughter and we're going to leave, and then you deal with all the other stuff. No. I don't think. Understand, Coach, I don't think they ever intended. We see what their intention was later on. They're conniving. They're trying to get these people in a state where it's going to be easy to deal with them. So, now, what they have said, you know, understand, he said, these words were good in the eyes of Hamor and in the eyes of Shechem, his son, Hamor's son. And the young man delayed not to do this thing, for he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he is honorable above all in the house of his father. So it says that this man was honorable in the house of his father, even though he raped a young girl. But he took it upon himself. You know what? Fine, I'll be the first. Let's get it done. And he was honorable, so he was the first to do this in the house of his father. But now Hamor has got to sell this to his people. So here comes the politician again, right? He comes to, he says, and Hamor cometh, and Shechem his son also, unto the gate of the city, and they spake there to the man of the city, say. Now, it's amazing that all the big business of the world at that particular time was done at the gate. Whenever anytime anything big happened, it happened at the gate. And then it involved a shoe being put under somebody's arm or under somebody's leg or something like that. Anyway, there was some customs at that particular time. But if something was going to happen, it's going to be done at the gate of the city, right? The gathering place, the gate of the city where everything is open and everybody can hear what goes on. There's no hiding places for you not to listen to what's happening. It's open to sunlight. It's open to everything to be seen and heard. So, the young man delayed not, okay. And Hamor come, and Shechem also his son, to the gate of the city. And they spake unto the man of the city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. They come here. He's saying to these men, these people have come here, and they have caused no problem. They have been good guys. They have been peaceful. They haven't took and gotten drunk and tore up the bars or anything in our town. They've been good guys. They're quiet. They're dependable. They go out and they work their fields. They're good people. They're peaceable with us. They don't cause any trouble. He says, let them dwell in the land and trade in it therein. And lo, it is wide before them. Their daughters let us take to ourselves and for wives, and our daughters give to them. Let's increase our bloodline. Let's take and give our daughters away. Look, we have these people, they're going to come here. If we can take and meld these two groups together, we'll be stronger, right? We'll have more people. We'll have more things. The city will be bigger. It's going to be good for everybody. Only good things can happen from this. Doesn't say, does it? Well, understand that he has people with him too, and they probably have daughters and stuff like that. Anyway, anybody that works for him are part of the big exploded family, or part of the family. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure he has servants that has daughters, and they're considered part of his clan. So when you say daughters to daughters, it's not just his immediate family. That's what I read. And I could be wrong in that, but I think that's where I'm at. This has to do with stuff. Stuff. We'll have more people. We'll have more stuff. We'll be bigger. We'll be stronger. We'll be bigger in the eye. But you know what? The bigger your city is, the stronger you are, the better you are. Right? Everybody in New York City says how good New York is, right? No, but seriously, they talk about how good New York City is. We know they're wrong because Texas is better. Okay? Personally, I've lived in Dallas. I would rather live in the country. Okay? I have lived in both places. I prefer out here. I prefer being able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Does the big city hold the ability to make more money, to do more stuff? Yes. But you know what? We don't need all that sort of stuff. It's amazing how, I don't know, that's something I'm not going to jump down today. Anyway, so, we can have all this. All you have to do is, he said, the only thing for this, to do, for this to happen, guys, is for all the man to consent to us, to dwell with us, to become one people, is for every male of us to be circumcised as they are. I'm pretty sure some eyebrows went up in here, okay? It's like, what? You want to what? Anybody that knows man knows that we don't talk about that sort of stuff. It's just, it's something that we don't do. It is personal. So to come in and say that this is a hard sell would be say, that's an understatement, is it not? All you have to do is be circumcised. I'm good. I don't need it. I'm fine. But then, so then now, he's like, all you have to do, so I'm sure their eyes went up and I'm sure some grumbling happened. Cause he goes on, he says, their cattle, their sustenance, and all their beast, are they not ours? Let us consent to them and let them dwell with us. In other words, keep in mind, guys, you see how much stuff they have? You see how many animals they have? God has blessed these people, right? They have flocks that I'm sure these people come in like, man, how'd they get so many sheep? How'd they get so many oxen? How'd they get so many camels? But God is blessing them. He's like, look at all that stuff they have out there. That could be yours. And the greed sets in. The greed sets in. Well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to be circumcised. They start thinking about that. He's like, just let them dwell with us. And everything they have, it's all going to be yours. It's all going to be, we'll be one big happy family. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened to do all those things going out of the gate of the city, and every male is circumcised, all of those going out of the gate of the city. They did it right then and there going out of the gate of the city so that to make sure that everybody got their due diligence of happening. So they took and they said, okay, Sounds like a good deal. We'll hang with that. So they did it right there at the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised. Now, it says, it cometh to pass on the third day, in their being pained, that two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, and this takes and this causes a big rift in the family right here. In fact, Levi pretty much gives up. He becomes the priest and doesn't have any land because of this sort of stuff, but that's later on. But whenever the father finds out that he's going to be really miffed about this. But anyway, Simeon and Levi, which they were Dinah's brother, and they were their blood brethren, right? And so Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, take each his sword and came against the city confidently and slay every male. Was this a little bit of overkill? If they had took and slayed just Shechem, they might have called that vengeance, right? You might have been able to understand that. But to go in and kill every male figure in the city simply because, I'll be getting a coach, simply because your daughter was raped by the head man's son, there's some overkill here going on, is there not? Is this justice? I got coach first. Well, yeah, but if what the son did was unheard of in that thing, a rapist of a little girl doesn't hold much sway going on. Yeah, he doesn't have much thing. They could have probably made some issues about that. But what they did was wrong. They took vengeance upon the whole city for the actions of one man. And that's just wrong. The person they should have been, if they were going to show vengeance against somebody, it should have been Shechem and Shechem alone. These people, what would you consider these two men? These two men are mass murderers. What else can you say? Not only that, they would be, what do we tell somebody that plans a murder? We call that capital punishment, right? We have regular punishment. If it was done because, oh my gosh, I heard my sister was being raped and I go and I kill the rapist, I might be able to say that it was a spur of the moment thing. These guys planned this. Premeditated. Yes, ma'am. Well, when you say a military campaign, usually that involves armies, and these were involved two men. I think this is mass murder.
Yeah. The tribal mindset there to protect their tribe.
But that's my feeling. That's what I draw upon this. And we each have our own little feelings about how this is. But is there anybody in here can say that this wasn't wrong? That their actions was not wrong? Yes, their actions was wrong. First off, they should have let God deal with it because God had been protecting them the whole time. And instead of turning to their own lustful wants of vengeance, maybe they should have turned to God. So they said, and let's go on a little bit. He says, It says, and Hamor and his sons, they have slain by the mount. Oh, wait a second. Slain every mount. And Hamor and his Shechem, his son, they have slain by the mouth of the sword, and they taken Diana out of Shechem's house to go out and go out. So evidently Shechem had been holding Diana still hostage through this particular time. Because she was over in the house. Either you have to say that, or you could say that once he was circumcised, they let her go become wife to him at that particular point. You could say that could have been what happened. I don't know. It doesn't tell when Diana went there. So she could have been held all this particular time, or at the particular time whenever they saw that these people had been circumcised, he said, okay, now I'm circumcised, because he consented to it immediately, did he not? And then they could have let Dinah go and stay there as appeasement. And not only that, that would have also, if they had let Dinah go to be over there, one thing, he had just got circumcised. He ain't going to touch her for a while. Two, if they showed Dinah came to the house of Hamor and Shechem, now that gives credence that, yes, we can take wives amongst these people. So it would be something you could look at it that way. And it doesn't say either way. So it could be either way. So Jacob's son have come upon the wounded and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And their flocks, and their flocks and their asses which were in the city and that which was in the field have they taken. And all, did I miss something here? Because they went back, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, and it says they took Shechem out of the house. Now it says the sons of Jacob. So evidently, it wasn't just it was just the two. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses, which were in the city, and that which was in the field, and all the wealth and the little ones and their wives captive and spoiled all that was in the houses. And Jacob and Simeon and Levi. Wait a second. Did I miss something here? Okay. Anyway, so what happened? Well, they took, and not only did they kill all the adult men, they took and they subjugated. They took all their belongings, all their wealth, all their children, and their wives as spoils of war. Now, this wasn't something I've heard of at the time, was it? But is this what Abraham did whenever he went out? Was this what was set forth that the family was supposed to do? It's like, if you look back in history how Abraham handled it, Abraham handled it, take your stuff back. I did what I had to do. Only thing I want is 10% for the people that came with me that were my allies, not my people. We don't need anything of yours. We have enough. God has supplied me enough that I don't need anything of yours. But look what they're doing. They're doing just the opposite. They're taking. They didn't need any of this stuff. God has supplied everything they were ever going to need. But yet they went in and they spoiled and took everything that was around the area. Yes, Coach. Oh, no. Yeah, I went in and I killed all your men, folks. And so, you know what? I'm going to bless you by taking you hostage now and making you slaves. Yeah, no. I can't go with there, Coach. I can't do that. Anyway, we see what Jacob says. What does Jacob say to them? Like, I want to finish this. We're almost to the end. We got two more verses. I think we can do this. It says, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink amongst the inhabitants of the land, amongst the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. In other words, he's saying to them, you two idiots, do you realize what you have done? With your deceitful attack on these, you didn't even go in honorably. You snuck in the middle of the night when you engineered that they were going to be hurt. Pretty smart of them. But you engineered where they were going to be the weakest, and you went in and you killed and stole all their stuff. What do you think all these rest of these tribes that are bigger than us around here are going to be doing? We cannot go live peaceably. The stink of what y'all have done is going to follow us wherever we're going. They're going to say, yeah, them Israelites, do you know what they did back over here to Hamor? Yeah, they befriended them for a lot of years. They were thought to be honorable people, but they took and they tricked them and got them circumcised, then went and killed all of them and took all their stuff. These people can't be trusted. Let's band together and kill them all. That's what Jacob says. It's going to happen now. That's what you have done. You have made us to be unsightly to everybody we're going to meet out here. And we got to live in this land, folks. And we're not the biggest, strongest people out here.
Okay. There is no mention of God being dishonored. All about me, I'm dishonored.
It's a lot of eyes in there, isn't there? So Jacob's thinking carnally back again, isn't he? Yeah. It's amazing. But God's going to fix that a little bit later on. God has a good way of fixing things, right? You think it was God's plan or man's plan? Well, I say it now again. Remember what I say. Foreknowledge does not mean foreaction. God uses everything that any of us can do. He can use that to His glory and do what He wants. He can make the outcomes be what He wants to do. That doesn't mean He caused it. Huh? I disagree on that with you, Coach. And we can disagree there. Just because you knew it was going to happen, that don't mean you caused it to happen. Knowing does not mean causality. It just means that you knew something was going to happen. Okay. Now, the last thing it says, and what was their response back to their father? So, we were just supposed to let them deal this way with our sister? We were supposed to take this? That's a very human reaction, is it not? Of which we all are guilty from time to time. Don't put yourself, just because you didn't go out and cause a group of people to be circumcised, and go out and kill them. Don't put yourself too high, guys. We all have these carnal reactions to things that are happening to us. And we look back on this, and they're given, this is a bad example of what we're supposed to do whenever bad things happen. You know, if somebody was to do something wrong to our family, does that give you the right that we're supposed to go out and hunt them down and kill them? Say somebody was to kill my wife, does that give me just cause to go out and hunt them down and shoot them from a sniper rifle or whatever and just take their life? In some ways, some people would say yes. But truthfully, we have laws for that and we have ways to deal with that, and that's the way we're supposed to be dealing with that. Does that mean you don't get it to, you don't have a right to protect yourself? I think that goes into something different. So, Anyway, I don't want to jump down into too much of that. So I'm way over time this morning. So I hope that we have come to some understanding in things that we have, and we're going to have to agree to disagree on some things, you know, and I love y'all, but I don't, there's some things that I just think are we have to disagree on. So, at this particular time, Wesley, would you close us?